Happy Monday, everybody. Thank you so much for downloading or streaming the Be Our Guest podcast. We're getting ready to sit down with listener Elizabeth to talk about a fun vacation to Disney's Art of Animation Resort. But first, a word from our sponsors, and that includes our friends over at The Wisdom of Walt. Put Walt to work for you. How do you go from dreaming of a theme park to building one? Walt Disney laid the blueprint. Learn how he did it and how his wisdom can guide you toward achieving the things that you dream of. In the best-selling Wisdom of Walt, Jeff Barnes distills Walt Disney's vision, his knowledge, and his methods into a series of actionable lessons. Through historical vignettes about Disneyland, as well as plentiful examples and exercises, the Wisdom of Walt creates a framework through which you can apply Walt's wisdom to improve your career, your company, and your life. Learn to go beyond the berm with the secrets of Disneyland success. Make a Main Street impression on everyone you meet and create e-ticket experiences that keep them coming back for more. The Wisdom of Walt is available on Amazon in hard copy, softcover, ebook, and audio versions. You can also purchase a personally signed copy at thewisdomofwalt.com. With the Wisdom of Walt, your success is just a dream away. Save time and money on your next Walt Disney World, Disneyland, or Universal vacation with our friends over at touringplans.com. That's the official website for the unofficial guide to Walt Disney World. They have the trip planning tools to show you the least crowded park to visit every day, customized touring plans for visiting Disney's best rides, honest restaurant reviews, how to save on Disney tickets, the best hotel rooms to ask for, and so much more. For under $15, you get 365 days of awesome trip planning tools to make your next vacation awesome. Check them out today. They're over at touringplans.com.
Ready to take a trip to the world? You found the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. This is where your memories come front and center on our podcast stage.
Welcome to episode 1228 of the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. I'm your host, Mike Rallman from BeOurGuestPodcast.com and, of course, MagicalMouseRadio.com. Happy Monday to you. Welcome to the last Monday of September, people. It's going to be October, and then before you know it, Halloween, Thanksgiving, and Christmas. We're trugging along here in 2017. So, of course, we're here on a Monday, trip report time, and we're going to both coasts. We're going to Florida, and we're going to squeeze in a little Disneyland talk as well. You're in for a treat. Joining me today over just not too far from the Be Our Guest Podcast studios over in Chatham, Illinois, listener Elizabeth, how you doing today?
I am great.
Thanks for coming on the show. It's nice to have a semi-local here on the podcast.
Yeah, indeed. We have to do a St. Louis get meetup or something.
That's right. I'll have to contact Los Fuentes, run out the room. We'll all have Mexican and talk Disney, man. That sounds like a dream come true for me.
Indeed.
All right. So we've been contacting through email, getting ready to get this show out there. So the first trip we're going to talk about, you took a trip down to Art of Animation, which, of course, I think a lot of people are still curious about a few years later after it's opened. It's got the family suites. It's got Little Mermaid rooms. It's kind of pop century plus in a way to me. So let's talk about that trip first. When did you head down and who traveled with you?
Sure. Well, it was last October, the 13th through the 18th, which, if you remember, was just about a week after the big hurricane. So we got a little panic because we thought, oh, dear. You know, we weren't there for the hurricane, but right afterwards. But actually, to Disney's credit, what was amazing to me was that you would never have known that there had been a major hurricane there when we were there just 4 or 5 days later.
That's good to hear because they are good at taking care of things like that. Of course, natural disasters, you can't really, you know, you can't prepare for them. You can only be reactive. I mean, I think they are proactive in some ways to you know, minimize guest disruption and damage to their infrastructure and stuff like that. But they also have to be very reactive with people rebooking flights and so forth. You know, I think this is going to be very timely because obviously this was just about a year ago now, and a lot of folks are heading down here in the next few weeks, getting ready for food and wine and the Halloween parties and stuff like that. So, you know what? Even though it's been a while, I'm glad this is going to work out well for the timing. I like it.
Yeah. And so the people who went, it was me and my husband and our daughter, who was 9 in third grade at the time.
So that's interesting to me. So why did you pick that time of the year? I always want to know, like, because we always had to go in the summer because my wife and I were teachers. But, you know, your daughter's in third grade at that point. Why did you pick early October?
Well, we had actually been thinking about going in the summer. We had thought about going down to Disneyland because my parents live in Northern California and we're going to combine the two. But my husband got a new position. He and I work at the same college and he had moved into a new position in the middle of the summer and there was no way he could leave at that point. So we looked at the schedule and I get a couple days of fall break and we decided that he would take a couple days off and we'd pull our daughter out of school for a couple days and we did that. So
works out.
And it was a nice time of year just to be doing that. You know, weather-wise, it wasn't too horrendous. So
that's what I was going to ask, you know, because I always want to know, because people are always curious. I always get this question from guests that are booking with the Magic for Less and just listeners in general that, you know, okay, I want to go this time of year. What are the crowds? What are the weather? So looking back, how would you determine that for folks going down, you know, maybe here in the next month or so?
Well, crowds were, it was very crowded. And of course, I had no frame of reference. We had never been to Disney World before, so we didn't know. And I remember at the time looking at the crowd calendars and they were pretty high. I mean, it was, you know, between 7 and 9 the entire time, mostly like sort of 8s and 9s. And maybe even 110, I'm not sure, but it was, and I was surprised because it was the week after, Columbus Day. So we got there the Thursday after Columbus Day and we're there until the following Tuesday.
Yeah, it's interesting because when I first started getting into, you know, geeking out about Disney, reading the travel books and then blogs and then listening to shows and stuff, you know, this time of year would have been not as busy. You know, now it's insanely crowded because I think of the popularity of things, especially like the Food and Wine Festival, because you get Epcot plus like a whole new experience layered right on top of it. And you got the Halloween parties and so forth. And I think a lot of schools also are having these fall breaks. Now, in our school district here in St. Louis, we never did have a fall break, but a lot of the districts in the metropolitan area do take a fall break around that time, which I think is kind of genius because just from an educational standpoint, you know, the kids get back to school now, at least in the Midwest, you know, middle of August typically. So by October, they need a little break. They need a little blow, and that's a good time for teachers to get, you know, a little professional development and stuff like that. And I think that's catching on. I think that's why these crowds are getting larger.
Yeah. So, and, you know, we had no clue. So the other thing was, you know, we didn't start planning. I knew nothing. I didn't know there was such a thing as a Disney podcast. I didn't know anything. So we was sometime like mid, late July, we thought, oh, you know, we need to do something about that trip because we really should make plane reservations, thinking that the plane reservations were going to be, you know, the most crucial time sensitive thing. And then I started looking at planning the trip and discovered planning the trip, which was really quite something, but so much fun. And, you know, I just started, I mean, I can be somewhat of a planner and I had so much fun doing all the research and listening to podcast, but I was listening to another podcast and through that one discovered yours and then was just listening to podcasts all the time. And you know, we totally missed the ADR window, but I was ready for the 60-day window for getting fast passes and everything. And it was a lot of fun, but I had no idea what I was getting into.
It's so funny because you don't realize at the time that you basically just took on a part-time job, you know, like planning a Disney vacation. And I think a lot of people, that's the issue. When they get home, it's like, okay, this has consumed me for the last 6 months. I'm worried about ADRs. I'm worried about looking at park hours. I'm looking at extra magic hours. I'm looking at my fast passes. You know, it's like you have this anticipation and build up to, especially a Walt Disney World vacation, that when you get home, not only is the vacation over, but you had all this time set aside. You know, maybe it was your routine at night to check for some fast pass you're really looking forward to or an ADR or something like that. And then once the trip's over, it's like, wow, I got to settle into, I think that's why we say you got to have the next trip on the books because, you know, you have all that extra time all of a sudden.
Yeah, it was sort of a shocker. And even there's something about, it's like Christmas, there's something in the anticipation that is so wonderful that once you actually get there, you kind of go, oh, I mean, not, you know, not that I was disappointed with Disney World, but there is something about that whole planning process, which, you know, I know we're going to talk a little bit about our Disneyland trip, which came later. But that's the big difference there, too, is there's not that kind of planning involved in Disneyland either.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that's, you know, different strokes for different folks. I like the planning and stuff like that. But there's also something to be said for not having to, you know, pull your hair out over every kind of detail that can drive you crazy sometimes about a Walt Disney World vacation, too. So let me ask you this, because we don't get too many first timers here on the podcast, and I'm glad that we could talk to you about this. You had all this anticipation. You mentioned that it is. It's like the build up to a major holiday, to something you're super looking forward to. Once you got there, what was the experience like? You know, we're looking at it now almost a year removed. Reflect on that. What's that like, that first trip?
It was, I mean, it was fun. It was, you know, some things about it were just really overwhelming. It was very exciting. I mean, when we took, you know, we took Magical Express, and when we pulled in the park and, you know, we saw the first signs that said Walt Disney World, we just went, oh, look! So that was really, really cool. And Art of Animation was really, I love the theming of Art of Animation. That was really, really neat. And we stayed in one of the Lion King suites, which was really nice. I have to say, in hindsight, I'm a huge Cars fan. And when I looked at the Cars rooms online, they didn't appeal to me as much. But in retro, sort of looking back, I think I would have gone with the Cars area just because I love Cars so much.
That's interesting. So I'm just curious, though, why you picked the family suite with three. You were looking for the more room and the spacious accommodations, because I could imagine you have plenty of room there.
We did. You know, part of it is my husband and I are both pretty tall. And when we were looking at so many of the other resorts, especially what was available either as a value resort or as a moderate, part of the difference is that they all had full size beds instead of queens. And in the suites, you could get a queen size bed. And so that was part of it. But we also wanted to have, you know, we wanted to have some space and be able to, you know, have our daughter go to bed first and the two of us be able to sit up and talk or whatever after she goes to bed, which, you know, if you're sharing one room is a little more difficult to do. So
good tip. Good tip. Because yeah. I think a lot of people exclude those unless they're like a larger family. And I think that there's something to be said for, you know, even a family of three or four being able to take advantage of, for those reasons you just mentioned. I totally get where you're coming from. I can't believe a first timer considered that. That's well done, because I'm 6'3", and even here at the house, man, my feet dangle off the bed sometimes, you know, but it's just, that's, I feel like, you know, I'm just like Herman Munster or something, you know, it's just way of life, you know, I'm tall. So, well, tell us about the trip, you know, touring the parks, you know, what stood out to you guys?
Well, the first day that we arrived, we left St. Louis first thing in the morning. Well, we were supposed to leave St. Louis first thing in the morning at 8 o'clock in the morning. We were supposed to arrive at Orlando at 11:22. So I figured, you know, we'd easily be in the parks by like 3 o'clock in the afternoon at the latest. And we had been planning, we planned to go to Magic Kingdom that night, and we actually had tickets for the Halloween party that night. And we had reservations for Cinderella's Royal Table. And this is actually that, like about a year ago, I had written into you and you guys had asked some listener questions for me on the podcast. And I remember you and Ricky both were like, don't do Cinderella's Table at the same time as you're doing the Halloween party. But, you know, it was just happened to be a fluke that we got those reservations. So as it turned out, our flight was incredibly delayed. We didn't arrive in Orlando until 6 p.m.
Oh.
And or maybe it was five something. We got to Art of Animation probably around seven. So we got there, we checked in, we changed into Halloween costumes, and then went straight to the park. And we were about half an hour late for our ADR at Cinderella's Royal Table. But they took us anyway, which was good to know that they will do that. And it was great. I mean, it's funny because I know most people want to see, you know, they want to go to the Halloween party and get all the experience out of the Halloween party, but we still had a really nice first night. The first thing we did was went and had dinner with the princesses. And for my 9-year-old, that was fabulous.
Absolutely. Yeah. The thing is, like, it is what you make it, you know, I mean, you can't anticipate that your flight's going to be delayed. Maybe, you know, looking forward, I'm trying to think of myself, like, as you were saying that, I'm like, if I had an 8 o'clock a.m. flight out of St. Louis, would I buy Halloween tickets for that night? And that wouldn't have really crossed my mind that I wouldn't get to the party on time. Because, you know, even if you're delayed, you're not typically delayed that much. I don't think I would say that, oh, don't get the tickets for the day you arrive. You know, if you're getting there in the morning hours, you know, I think that's just something that could have kind of an unforeseen circumstance.
Right. And we had a great, I mean, it started off our trip really well. We sat down and we're getting dinner, and we're, our family is vegetarian. And we eat a lot of different kinds of international foods and all kinds of things that are pretty flexible about food. And so we were asking the waitress about vegetarian options, and our daughter had seen the macaroni and cheese on the kids' menu, and she said, "Oh, I want to get macaroni and cheese." And then we were she was describing this couscous and roasted vegetables thing that for the adults, and then our daughter said, "Oh, I want that." And so she ended up ordering the adult meal, and one of the really sweet things that happened was then later through the meal, the waitress came by and she brought my daughter mac and cheese anyhow, because she had heard the conversation earlier and she knew that she wanted both. So she brought her the other one too.
That's awesome. Yeah, that's, you know, it doesn't really cost Disney much, and it's a good gesture for yeah. Sure. Yeah, that's awesome. Yeah.
So we did that. We didn't do a lot of the Halloween-y stuff. Interestingly enough, my daughter wasn't interested in the trick-or-treating at all.
Wow.
But we went after dinner, we went to Haunted Mansion, and she loved the Haunted Mansion. And we did Haunted Mansion twice right then. And even since, when we later went to Disneyland, we had to do Haunted Mansion a couple times then too. So she really loved that. So that was very Halloween-y. And we did Pirates, and we saw Halloween-icious, which was really impressive. I mean, we hadn't seen anything like that. We're not prepared for how incredible those fireworks displays are.
So let me ask you this. Would you do the Halloween party again? Say you're going down to your next trip and it's in that season. Was it something that you think, because it sounds like, you know, you guys weren't there for the entire time, but you did, it sounds like you had a very pleasant evening at the party. So would you do it again if you had a chance?
I would definitely make sure. I mean, I guess, as you said, you can't count on it. If you have an 8 a.m. flight, you wouldn't think that you were going to be that late. But I would want to have the time to do everything, to see a lot more at the party.
Yeah.
To see more, because we didn't see characters at all. And we missed the Halloween parade. So we missed a lot. But I would want to be there to actually, you know, to see the parade and to get a good place to be for the fireworks, and to just, and at that point we were so exhausted because we had gotten up super early to get on our airplane. And the night before we had actually driven down, we live about an hour and a half from St. Louis, and we had driven down so that we could be there overnight and not have to get up and drive early in the morning. And we had gotten to the hotel late, so we didn't get as much sleep as we thought. Anyhow.
Yeah. You know, and that, you know, and just to be honest, I mean, nobody sleeps the night before their Disney vacation, I don't think, especially the folks listening to this show. You know, we're amped up. We've been looking forward to it for so long. It's like, forget it. Even if you're, you know, I live 10 minutes from the airport and I still don't sleep the night before just because I'm so excited for the trip. And, you know, thinking about this, reflecting on that, what I might offer is a suggestion for people moving forward with things like hard ticket events, you know, the Halloween, Christmas party and so forth. Maybe build those towards the end of the trip, just for the fact that not only it gives you that buffer if something like this were to happen, but also I like to, it's almost like the thing, if I'm doing a split stay, I like to stay at the nicer hotel on the back end of the trip, because I know that even as the trip's, you know, going by and, you know, I only have 5 days left, 4 days left, 3 days left, I have a new experience that I'm really looking forward to at the end. So maybe if you could kind of end like on the last night or the second to last night with something like that, not only does it give you a little safety net, but also something to anticipate even as the trip's coming to an end.
Right. So the next day we did Animal Kingdom and a little bit of Hollywood Studios in the evening. And we all loved Animal Kingdom. We slept in a little. We didn't get there for rope drop. But we had fast pass for Kilimanjaro Safari that morning. And we saw a good number of animals, and it was really neat seeing even just all the vegetation and those baobab trees and all that kind of stuff. That was really cool. And we had lunch we had the character lunch at Tusker House, which we loved.
Love it.
The food was great. I mean, the food was really sort of up our alley because it was a lot of international foods, African and Asian flavors and things, and really good vegetarian options. And my daughter loved it, and she's pretty experienced with lots of different kinds of international foods. At one point I walked up to the buffet and I found her standing there in front of the Indian food, telling this woman what all the things were. Really, you should really try this because it's really good. And it was so funny that she walked away and the woman looked at me and she said, well, that girl really knows her food. And I said, yeah, that's my daughter.
That's a, you know what? I could use your daughter's help because I eat all that stuff, but I couldn't tell you what it is or where it's from. I just know it usually tastes good.
Exactly. And the character interactions at Tesker House were wonderful. And I was really surprised that I myself had a really emotional reaction to seeing like Mickey Mouse and Donald Duck in that setting. Like they came up to the table and I got all verklempt. But it was really fun. And we had fun interactions with them. And Donald Duck came by before Mickey did. And so my daughter had a little autograph book that was basically just a little notepad. And each page had a picture of Mickey. So Donald took the page and crossed out Mickey and then put Donald Duck number one. And then so when Mickey came by, we showed him that Donald had done that. And Mickey made a big reaction about that. And he signed it and everything. It was really cute. It was nice.
That's awesome. Yeah, those character meals are a lot of fun. Everybody needs to. You know, and you don't, I should almost said, you know, you need to do that if you have kids. You don't have to do, you know, if you're just adults, go to a character
Absolutely.
Meal.
Absolutely. Yeah. And that's Disney what World. I mean, I would say that even if you're adults, I mean, even if my daughter had not been there, I would have loved it.
I'm the same way. Exactly. I mean, because, yeah, I mean, that's why you're there. I mean, get real. You're having a good time. It's fantasy. You know, it's fun. It's what we want the world to be. So yeah. Animal Kingdom was a big hit. That's awesome. Because a lot of times I think that park has to grow on people.
Yeah, no. And you know, the funny thing is I have since asked my daughter and my husband what their favorite things were. And Animal Kingdom came up in both of their list of favorite things and favorite parks. So my daughter said later, much later, like this summer, said that Magic Kingdom and Animal Kingdom were her favorite parks. And my husband said Epcot and Animal Kingdom. So wow. There you go. And at that point, and we were there, I mean, we were there for sort of a somewhat of a half day. I mean, we left in the middle of the day to go back and go swim and stuff. And it was before Pandora and everything. So, but still I wished we had ended up, you know, having more time to go back, but we did, you know, it was, 4 days goes by really fast.
Yeah, it does. I mean, it's a blink. It's crazy. And like you said, you'll have Pandora next time you go down. So you'll have not only, you know, one of your favorite experiences, but a lot more to do there. And, you know, that's some of the best stuff Disney's done. It's pretty incredible. So did you guys spend any time in Epcot? What were your, you said your husband was a fan of Epcot?
We did. We went to Epcot on that Sunday. So that was our third full day there. Did all the Future World, well, not all the Future World stuff. We didn't do like Mission Space. I would have been sick if we had done that. But we did Spaceship Earth and we loved Soarin' and we loved Test Track. Walked around and of course it was, food and wine. So there was lots of stuff to see. And they had, even in Future World, they had some kind of sort of garden set up with, they were growing tomatoes and all sorts of things. And it was just interesting because we do some gardening. But, and we saw Anna and Elsa at the Royal Summer House, which was beautiful. The design of the house and the setting and all the Scandinavian decorations and everything was really wonderful. And we did some of the stuff that people don't talk about very much. We did the Grand Fiesta with the Three Caballeros and went around there. And we actually ate at the San Angel Inn, at the restaurant there that is inside that has the Three Caballeros ride going through it. And we really liked that. It was nice. I mean, the Mexican food we thought was good. They had actually quite a few vegetarian options. And one of the things that we liked was that it was quieter than a lot of the other restaurants, except for, of course, the volcano that goes off every few minutes. But
yeah, I'm right with you. I love that place. Like, ironically enough, I've eaten there on the 4th of July the last 2 years. You know, it's like nothing more American than going into the Mexican pavilion and having, you know, burritos and salsa and chips and stuff. You know, I just love that food and we tend to get down there. But you're right. I mean, it's a very themed restaurant. You know, it's one of those that's very Disney, even though it's dark. Like, I feel like an old man because I got to pull out my cell phone so I can read the, I need a little light there to read the menu. But once I get past that, it's a great place to eat. And you're right. And we don't talk about it too much.
It is. No, and hardly anybody did, but it looked good. And so we did it. And then we walked, and then after that, well, then we had Fast Pass for Frozen Ever After, which we really enjoyed. And then we walked around World Showcase, and that was fun. And that was something that my husband talked about liking, just walking around all the shops and looking at everything. And we had a great time in Morocco. My husband's really fascinated with Moroccan food, and I kind of regret that we didn't eat there. But we spent a lot of time walking around and looking at all the shops and stuff there. And in France, there was some kind of magic act or balancing act or something that somebody was doing. It was sort of a comedy thing, but this guy was like standing on about 50 chairs or something. And it was fun to watch. It was a big crowd. And of course it was food and wine. It was the middle of a Sunday afternoon, so it was crowded. And there were people around who had been imbibing. So, you know, at one point it kind of, my 9-year-old noticed that, and she has talked about it since then. Like, there were drunk people there, mommy, as well. Yeah.
But Mallory said the same thing before, you know, that person acts like he's acting a little crazy. Yeah. Well, and I'm sorry. It's, you know, we're here for the Wine and Dine Half Marathon, and some people are happy that they finished the race. You know, that's what I tell her.
Yeah. But it was, that was when we got Dole Whips when we were walking around, food and wine, and I did have a frosty adult beverage. I had some kind of frozen Kahlua and coffee thing or something that was really good.
Oh, you're making me miss food and wine. I'm not going to make it this year. Oh man, killing me. Oh well, I'll be down for you know, marathon weekend. January will be here before you know it. But you're killing me because I love food and wine.
Yeah. No, it was, I mean, I think October is a really nice time. I mean, I don't have any point of reference. I haven't been there any other time of year. October was a really nice time to be there. And I loved all the Halloween decorations and I love fall just in general. It's my favorite time of year anyhow. So,
all right. So let's do this because I want to make sure we get in your Disneyland stuff because you were there more recently in this way. A lot of folks are asking questions because a lot of changes happening in Disneyland. Final thoughts on Walt Disney World, you know, especially being a first time trip. Any lessons for folks that might be in your shoes, like they just discovered the podcast because they got thrown into a trip and now they've Googled stuff and our podcast came up. They're looking at guidebooks. They're looking at blogs. What would you tell them today? You know, say they're going down, you know, sometime in the next few months.
Well, planning is good. Planning is important. I think some of the things that surprised us, even though as much as people talked about the crowds, I think one of the things was, you know, on our last night, we were in Disneyland and we had separate, my daughter and I went one way and my husband went the other way. And we said, well, we'll meet up for the fireworks. Well, yeah. The crowds, I mean, just the sort of the constant crowds and things, what you have to sort of pace yourself. But we took time and went back to our hotel every single day. And I think that was really important to have some time away and to just sort of calm and not even just for resting, but just to have a little quiet time, you know?
So true.
I know from my husband, especially he is much more of a, not a, a crowds and noise person. And he found himself wanting at some point to be able to be in the parks and just find a place to go sit and have some quiet. And we had a hard time finding that kind of thing. So you just kind of have to plan pacing that way.
That's great advice. Because if you think about it, I mean, no matter where you are at Walt Disney World, there's like some kind of ambient sound or crowd sounds. I mean, even at the swimming pool, there's usually a host, you know, doing games, you know, hula hoop contest with upbeat music. And when you're walking through a land, there's a background loop playing. And, you know, of course, in October, it's very busy. And even on the, you know, there's noise on the buses and on the boats. And you're right. I mean, your brain needs to decompress. And I think that's what one of the things that folks that go down with, you know, children that aren't used to being in such a stimulating environment, they say, oh, my kid was kind of acting wild. You know, it's because your kid usually doesn't have to go 24/7 being, you know, smells and sounds and sights constantly. Exactly. It's overload. Yeah. Yeah, good tips. Good tips. Yeah. All right. So let's hop over to Disneyland. So you guys, when did you guys go out there?
We were there in the beginning of August, and this time it was just me and my daughter. We were, as I said, my parents live in Northern California, and so we were visiting my parents there, and it was actually a surprise trip for my daughter. So we were there for visiting my parents for 2.5 weeks, and I had this all planned out, and we one morning we got her up. and said, surprise, it's, you know, it was 5:30 in the morning. My husband actually wanted to be part of the surprise, so we had him on FaceTime and said, well, okay, Daddy, what's to talk to you? And said, guess what? You're going to, down to Disneyland. So we, and the fun thing was, you know, we had been talking about, I had been quizzing my daughter about, well, I'm going to talk to Mike Rallman about our trip for Disney World. And what, if you were going to do it again, what would you want to do differently? Or what would you want to do more of?
Nice.
And so I was able to plan accordingly for Disneyland because I knew what she wanted to do. And the funny thing was, here she is, she's 10 years old. And what she said was she wanted more princesses. So we saw princesses at Disneyland. And of course, one of the wonderful things about Disneyland that's different from Disney World is that the characters are much more accessible. Mm-hmm. And yeah. Characters are walking around the parks. You just meet them. Just sort of ran. I mean, we ran into Tiana because she was walking along and sort of set up shop and was meeting people. But we saw Jack Sparrow just literally just walking along, stopped him and made him take a picture with us. And but we saw all the princesses while we were in Disneyland, and some of them, you know, sort of officially, and some of them in passing. But that was nice. And we missed, you know, when we were at Disney World, we missed parade. I don't think we saw any parades. So one of my goals was I wanted to see parades, and so what we got to see was we saw Main Street Electrical Parade. And when we had been in Disney World in October, Main Street Electrical Parade closed down. It had its last night 4 nights before we arrived. And so, and in fact, actually, it's closing at Disneyland, or has closed. It's sometime in the beginning of the fall this year.
Yep.
And so we saw it twice and absolutely loved it.
Yeah, it's magical. And you're right. When you were saying that, I was thinking, well, if you want to see a nighttime parade, you have to go to the West Coast anyway. You're not going to see one currently at Walt Disney World. But yeah, I like Festival of Fantasy in the afternoon. That's a fun parade at Magic Kingdom. But yeah, they have it going on out at Disneyland. And you're right with the character interactions. They do that in a more intimate way out there, which I think they can because the scale's not so large.
Yeah, that may be it. I don't know. But it was lots of fun. And then, of course, the other thing that I personally loved was Cars Land. I think Cars Land is the best themed thing that Disney has done at all. It was, and it felt like walking into the movie, like walking into Radiator Springs. And it was so impressive that all the cute little town stuff was so great. And the big red rock formations and things around Radiator Springs, it was just gorgeous and fun. The rides were, Radiator Springs Racers, my daughter and I both agreed that we liked Radiator Springs Racers better than Test Track. They're basically the same kind of ride. But the Racers was really wonderful. And we did that, actually, we did it a number of times, and we did it at night, which was really cool.
Yeah, that's what I've heard. I'm dying to see that because, again, you know, I'm in St. Louis and we have the Route 66 kind of thing going on, you know, here in St. Louis, the Mother Road there, and that's what the movie's based on. And a lot of that environment, even though it's like the American Southwest, we have a little bit of that in southern, you know, southwestern Missouri. And yeah, I got to see that because obviously I've seen the videos. I've talked to so many people that have been and experienced it. And that's one of the highlights is that getting out there just to see the environment, not so much. I want to do Radiator Springs Racers. Don't get me wrong. I'm sure it's incredible, but I just want to kind of stand there and take it all in. Yeah. Was that kind of how you felt?
Oh yeah. And just standing on the little main street there there's Luigi's and Flo's and it all looks like the movie. It really feels like you're in, they recreated exactly what they had created in the movie. And the other rides were fun too. There was the Luigi's ride and then the Mater's Junkyard Jamboree. And my daughter loved that. We had so much fun on that. I think we must have done it 4 times.
That does look like a blast. It looks crazy. Like it's one of those rides that, you know, when you see videos, everybody's cracking up riding it. Like it's just fun. You know, there's not much more to say than it's just a fun ride. And so I'm all in, you know, I spin me out, you know, I can't wait. That looks like fun.
Yeah. It was a lot of fun.
So let me ask you this as we kind of wrap up here. Now, let me throw a proposition on the table. Say that I offer you, okay. And I can't because I'm broke, you know, retired, you know, I'm not teaching this year. So, we're figuring things out as we go. But if I had the means and I said, okay, family gets to go to Disneyland for 5 nights, or you get to go to Walt Disney World for 5 nights. Which one would you take off the table right now, having those experiences in the past year?
Wow. You know, I think we would probably do Disneyland, actually. I mean, I know my daughter would. She absolutely said she likes Disneyland better than Disney World. And she gave me a long list of reasons why, too. But the nice, you know, we were at Disneyland for the same amount of time that we were at Disney World, and we were able to see and do so much more. Yeah. That being said, I would love to go back to Disney World too. Because there are some things that are different about Disney World that you can't get at Disneyland, in this sort of resort feeling of being away kind of thing. Although I thought Disney, people talk about, oh, you're not in the bubble when you're at Disneyland. And we stayed off site. We stayed at the Howard Johnson's, but it was an 8-minute walk to the front door of, you know, right to Disneyland. And the fact that you could walk and go and be in either park, and that you could go back and forth between the two parks, was really, really neat.
Yeah, when you put that in perspective, I mean, if you were staying at the Contemporary, you probably couldn't walk to the Magic Kingdom in 8 minutes. You know, like, as far as getting in, you know, to the touch points, it would be probably about 8 minutes, maybe 10 minutes if I was guessing. You know, and you're still, you know, like you said, you had an 8-minute walk and you're at a Good Neighbor Hotel. You're not technically on site, right, but you have access to everything Disneyland and California Adventure have to offer right there within 8 minutes. Where, I mean, consider, like, if you're staying at the Contemporary and you wanted to walk to Animal Kingdom. It, trust me, I've run that before in the marathon. It is far away. I mean, it's a long way. So it's all about perspective. And I like the way you mentioned, you know, some of the pros. What do you think, besides, when your daughter mentioned those reasons she really enjoyed Disneyland, besides the character interactions, what did she say? I love hearing what the kids have to say, their perspective.
Well, she said, for one thing, we went to the Tiki Room, which we didn't do in the world. She loved the Tiki Room. Like, she wanted to go back numerous times. But she talked about, so I have a list. She said how friendly everybody was. And, you know, I don't know that there was a huge difference, but people were friendly. She loved the songs while we were waiting for parades. She said she liked walking around the park and seeing the characters walking around. She liked actually walking back and forth to the hotel and seeing all the other hotels and sort of this sort of excitement of Disney there. She liked the fact that the hotel was quiet and peaceful. And she said there are no screaming kids running in the halls. So, you know, and she said that when we were there, she said, you know what, Mommy, I like this better than Art of Animation. I thought, well, okay.
Wow. Hey, well, you heard it here first. If you don't want kids, yeah, Stay at the Hojo at Disneyland.
Well, and you know, here's the thing is the Hojo, they really go out of their way to make it. I felt like the Hojo felt like a Disney hotel. Like it felt like it belonged there. And I think they do that very consciously.
That's awesome.
But she said she loved the feel of Disneyland, and she, you know, she got kind of emotional and just said, you know, I just really love the whole park. And there was something about it. It was just sort of like a gut reaction with her. And one of the things she mentioned was loving the Dapper Dans, which of course exists at Disney World. But that was one of the things that we really noticed. We felt like there was live music every time we turned around at Disneyland. And there was the Disneyland band. And then there's the College All-Star Band, which is like the Disneyland band. And there was a jazz band in California Adventure that was there in the afternoons and riding around on a bus and doing things. And I did feel like we were surrounded by live music while we were there, which was really cool.
That's awesome. She has a great list there. I mean, lots of reasons to go to Disneyland. She's got me excited because I love my live entertainment. That's one of my favorite things down at World too. So
Fantasmic was the other thing that was incredible.
So did you get a chance to catch that down at World or no?
No, we didn't see it at World. I've looked at videos of it, but we did it twice. We did the dining package at Disneyland at Riverville Terrace and sat like right in the front, and it was incredible. And the new one, it's just fabulous. And what gets me, I mean, I have a hard time imagining what it's like at Disney World, because what's so cool at Disneyland is the fact that here you're sitting on the edge of Rivers America and you're right looking at Tom Sawyer's Island, And then it just gets completely transformed into the whole thing for Fantasmic. And the huge boats come by and they use the Columbia and the Mark Twain as parts of Fantasmic. And it was incredible.
Yeah, I've heard it's superior at Disneyland. So I got to get out there. You got me so excited now again because I love the shows. Oh, you got me almost looking at plane tickets. So I appreciate it.
Here you go.
I don't think we have a direct flight, but I'll have to look. All right, Elizabeth, thanks so much for kicking off the week with us here, talking some Disney, both Walt Disney World, Disneyland, and hope to catch you and the family down at Walt Disney World sometime soon.
Well, you are welcome. Thank you for having me.
All right. Don't forget, today's show brought to you by our friends over at touringplans.com. Stay out of crowds and see the most amount of attractions possible on that next Walt Disney World, Disneyland, or Universal vacation. It's some of the best money you can spend, less than $15 for the whole year, and you're going to have great trip planning tools to make your next vacation awesome. Check them out right now over at touringplans.com. And you also need a good read, and we're talking about Disneyland. This is a book, The Wisdom of Walt. Check it out at thewisdomofwalt.com. It's the story of Walt Disney and him bringing Disneyland to life, chasing his dreams. And then author Jeff Barnes takes those lessons that Walt left us and ties those into everyday life for us. You know, how can we improve our careers, our relationships, and, you know, setting goals for ourselves to make things happen. So check out The Wisdom of Walt over at thewisdomofwalt.com. Please support the show through Amazon when you do your shopping online. Cost you nothing extra. We really, really appreciate it when you use our affiliate link. It's brguestpodcast.com/Amazon. You get all your Prime benefits. Everything's the same, only it does help support the show, and we appreciate that so much. Again, brguestpodcast.com/Amazon. Thanks very much. Give us a follow on the social media, and we are on Instagram and Twitter. That's where you can find us, at brguestmike, and drop by the Facebook group, facebook.com/beourguestpodcast. All right, well, thanks so much for hanging in with us today. We'll be back again on Wednesday as we answer your listener questions. So for Elizabeth, I'm Mike, wishing you a pleasant Monday, but it's time to head back to work, and we'll see you real soon.
You've been listening to the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. If you have questions, comments, or would like to be a guest on the show, please visit our website at brguestpodcast.com. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you real soon.